these times they are changing, and
they are changing.
It's kind of fun to see the inevitable downfall of people that we're excited to see the downfall of. I'm not going to name any names. I'm not going to say something like I'm excited to see the president be brought down. That would be unpatriotic, I feel. However,
yeah, I wouldn't hold it against you.
I feel like we're in the final like 10 to 15 minutes of The Godfather at this point.
Ooh.
Yeah. We're just going to get to watch everybody get whacked. And by whacked, I mean whacking someone off in federal prison because they're going to go to jail. Is that in poor taste?
I don't know, man. It's funny because like I can really delight in this, but at the same time, are we over celebrating the demise of some of our institutions?
Yes.
Like I had this Twitter thread today about Hooters.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, I don't know.
The millennials. The millennials brought down Hooters. Interestingly enough, that tweet is making its way around and it's nearly a year old.
Is that right?
Oh, if you pay attention to that tweet, that article about the millennials taking down Hooters, yeah, that's from 2017.
I read the article. I didn't look at the date.
All of a sudden, it's popping up.
The article is based on Pornhub search data that says that like 18 to 24-year-olds are not searching for breasts on Pornhub.
What are they searching for?
I don't know, but first of all, those aren't millennials. Those are like the Z generation. Those are like the millennials are people who were born in like in the 80s to mid 90s.
Yeah, you're a millennial.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, like by some definitions, 1982 when I was born is the first year where you could be a millennial.
I know. I'm 1981. I steer clear of that shit.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to own any of these.
I don't have to get blamed for anything.
You're a Gen Xer. Everybody let you guys off the hook, man.
Yeah, we did.
Like,
cool as fuck.
You know what? You guys were they really shit on you for being slackers for a long time.
Yeah. That's all right. We are.
Yeah.
Someone asked me today about my day job. I said, you know, the best part about my day job is I really don't do a whole lot. And he looked at me with such concern, like you have a job that you don't do a lot and that somehow pleases you? Yes. Yes, it does.
Is that okay to say? Are they gonna listen to this and are they gonna be like, hey Derek, here's some more like busy work for you because it sounds like you're not doing a lot.
They could try all they want and my job could not make my life busy. I have a low stress, middle of the road job that doesn't require very much effort on my behalf. I've been doing it now for nearly 8 years. And I've pretty much got it down pretty well. I think that's the thing about it is it's just a sense of being comfortable. It's close to my house. There's not a lot to it. I don't really know how to explain it. But I will say that doing it does afford me to be able to do my other dreams, which if I didn't have this job that was flexible and allowed me to do the things I did, it would be a different story, you know, but I couldn't be reporting part time on, you know, the baseball team if I didn't have a good job to support it and a job that allowed me the time to be able to do it when asked, you know, so I can't complain about my job, even though it's not a job that I would go around bragging about or even talking about, you know, but again, that's a beautiful part about my job. It's just a job I do. It doesn't define me as a person. Not like being a snackologist.
When I was working, I was very often in this position where I didn't feel like I was very busy, and I had this deep fear that if I went to management and was say like, hey, could I do more stuff? They were not going to give me anything like what I wanted to do.
Oh, of course not.
Like, you know, what I wanted to do was like write a blog about video games or something like that. They weren't going to let me just do that. They would assign me like more and more busy work.
Right.
Like, oh, update this HTML on the homepage every couple hours now. And sure, you can do this and this and this and this and like crop these tiny photos. And that was so much of what I did. And it wasn't you know, I got into edit or into journalism because I wanted to like do writing and editing and reporting and you know, the stuff that's like actual journalism and not so much copying and pasting HTML code onto a website.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you.
Cropping photos, tiny photos in Photoshop.
I definitely thought my job involving doing appraisals was going to be much more involved with doing appraisals and not so much getting other people to do the appraisals for me.
That's an interesting approach to appraisals.
It really is an interesting approach to appraisals, hence why my job is such a do-nothing job. But I will say that I love being a journalist myself. I love working for Arizona Sports. I know this is not affiliated with them. I know that no one from that side is going to listen to this. So I'm not kissing ass by any stretch of the imagination. But I do love the fact that they give me that freedom of working and covering the Diamondbacks. They actually give me too much freedom. I tend to want to have an assignment, and they're just like, pick something. Mm. You'll figure it out.
As long as they don't try to hire me to update their homepage, no.
Yeah, no.
They're gonna listen to this and like, oh, this guy can update a homepage. Mm-hmm. Let's get him. Let's bring him in. Yep. Yeah.
They'll say that they're gonna put you on, you know, on the route to having your own show, and next thing you know it, you're gonna be working in a tiny office and nothing but HTML updates all day long.
Copying and pasting, getting neck deep in some code.
Yeah.
And then also like pulling stories off the AP wire.
Oh, see, I'm appreciative that we don't do that. I'm appreciative that I get to be the guy at the stadium writing the story instead of using AP stories, which my station easily could do. They are a radio station after all. So I feel like having a website is it's just there to give me something to do. That's what I feel like, you know?
You know, my wife worked for the AP, and sometimes her job would be to, like, write a news story for print and then, like, rewrite other stories for radio broadcasts, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Rewriting stories for radio broadcasts is not actually interesting work, but I thought it was interesting that that was what they did, and that so much of what you hear on the radio is stuff that the AP has prepared for radio people to read.
There's a lot of secrets I found out about radio, Tim, that make me so sad, especially a lot of the bits. A lot of the things you hear on radio, I mean, radio tropes that have been around for years, I've found out things about them that it's like finding out that Santa Claus isn't real. You know, it's a little disappointing, but hey, it's part of the business. You know, it's just, I'm still a viewer when it comes to radio.
Are you at liberty to tell us what even some of those tropes are that you're talking about?
Hmm. Probably not, but hey.
Pull back the curtain on radio Santa.
Let's do it. Let's do it anyway. I'm probably not allowed to, but it's not like my boss told me these things, so it's not going to ruin our rep, but I'll give you a for instance. If your local radio station does a bit where, let's say, they call a guy and tell him that, you know, they have a vacation to offer them or a spa package, and all they needed to know is who the other person is that they want to take with them. And it's all in an effort to expose that person for being a cheater. Yeah, none of those are real.
Oh.
None of them.
They're all they're scripted, or they know the person, or
they're all voice actors.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Because now there's a lack of trust in the media,
mm-hmm.
where people make outrageous claims about people portrayed on television being actors.
Guess what? They probably are.
I'm talking about like Sandy Hook.
Whoa!
Not actors, dude. Like this is the extreme other end.
Okay. But all right, you win.
If enough radio stations are presenting these small, relatively insignificant stories as being true when they're actors, like, don't you suppose that is giving credence to these wild conspiracy theories that you know, the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas students were also crisis actors? Like,
you really took us into a dark territory, Tim. We went from radio tropes to crisis actors at school
shootings.
I was
trying to talk about Hooters, but you know what? Like that's
holy shit.
The crisis actor thing is like has become its own kind of radio trope, right? Like it's
all
right.
Well, okay. Yeah. Let's I know it's a snack podcast, but fuck it. Let's dive in with both hands, right? Yeah, to a degree, you're right. Any kind of fraudulent activity, any kind of thing where it's proven that something that was passed off as being legitimate is proven to be fraudulent, it's going to add credence to any crazy conspiracy theory, because that's the exact type of thing that conspiracy theorists are looking for. Validation. Something to prove that if that thing is a lie, then this thing could be a lie. It's an unfortunate side effect of things happening. Like, things can happen to anybody. There was that girl that was missing, for instance, and then they found out that she has been murdered, and they found out the person that is the suspect, or whatever you want to call it, the person that turned themselves in, is an illegal immigrant. And it's unfortunate that that girl lost her life, and it's also unfortunate that an illegal immigrant, someone that shouldn't be in this country, was here somehow, and somehow made it to Iowa, of all fucking places, and murdered this girl, if that's what happened, right? But the sad part about it is that you know that people now that want to, you know, enforce, like, fucking, you know, absurd immigration laws are going to use that story now as a way to be like, look, this is what happens when illegal immigrants come into this country, not really paying attention to the, you know, millions of illegal immigrants that are here that don't do shit like that and live a normal life and are a normal citizen. You know what I mean? So that's the problem with anything like that that happens, that then people use as a political stance or something to push their political agenda. When you go to the conspiracy theorists that say fucking crazy ass shit like that, yeah, I mean, anything. If the news makes a mistake and they have to run a retraction, they fucking will jump on that, you know, fake news, you know, all of that kind of shit. Like, to be honest, they're all just people. Mistakes happen. You've worked in news. I've worked in, you know, the sporting news. I've worked on the KTAR thing, side of things. I have said this in a tweet, and this is not a joke. This is not me just poking fun at myself. Accuracy is not a strong point for me.
And accuracy, though, is something that is it's practiced and it's learned. And the like one thing that a veteran journalist will likely possess is just knowing, you know, whether they're writing a story or editing a story, knowing what things in the story are the facts that need to be checked.
Like, I'll give you, for instance, I write an article, and sometimes it's just more about the fact that I am writing I'm covering a baseball article that I don't know which direction the game is going to go. So I have certain facts and things in there, and some of that information becomes useless or is factually incorrect if I thought that they were going to win and the team loses, for instance, right? But sometimes it's hard to make sure you went back and removed all of those from an article that you already had 75% done, and now you have to change direction completely because instead of them winning, they lost. So you have to kind of change the tone and change some of the facts and information you shared in that article. For me, it's really easy for me to make that kind of mistake and not have it caught by an editor, because they're not going back and rerunning figures on what a guy's, you know, batting average is or what a team record is over the last 24 games. You know, you're right, though. It is it's a veteran thing to remember which of those facts could be altered by the game's outcome. It's also a veteran thing to maybe write two completely different articles while you're writing. Something that you have a completely different freaking thing. These are things, like I said, things, you know, this whole thing that we've gotten into now where the Manafort is being charged and found guilty of 8 charges, and you have Michael Cohen coming out there and having these, you know, charges against him, and you still have people defending and pointing fingers and trying to spread their own misinformation about all of this, when in actuality this should be a time when we are a people as should be banding together against someone that possibly, you know, took advantage of the country and fraudulently became president of the United States. Shit's crazy right now, and I can't believe that you got us down this road, Tim. This isn't funny. This isn't something I want to listen to. This isn't the kind of banter that our viewers are used to. And God damn it, Tim. I know they're not viewers, but I want to take a second to welcome them into episode 42 of Derek and Tim Eat Snacks.
Derek and Tim eat snacks on the internet.
I just had this very personal, very heartfelt Twitter thread about all of my good experiences at Hooters, about all the times that Hooters made a difference in my life. Hmm. And it didn't get a lot of likes, and it kind of bummed me out. You ever have a day like that?
Oh, all the time. All the time, Tim.
You can't like hang your need for personal validation on social media analytics. Like, I know this. Mm. And yet here I am.
Yeah. On the flip side, I sent out a stupid meme tweet that I didn't think would get any attention or was worthy of anybody's fawning over. And it's currently pulled over 1,000 retweets and over 3,500 likes.
Which one was that?
You know, the famous during sex me, I want you to hurt me scenario.
Oh, yeah.
And I went really super hardcore nerd with a wrestling reference, kind of putting the Attitude Era on blast.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah. Makes no sense. So I feel overvalidated with this tweet, Tim.
I know.
There was too much attention.
The funniest thing about that meme is that Jared had one, another wrestling tweet using that exact like meme construction, that, you know, the me during sex hurt me meme. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing was that I had just gotten done watching SummerSlam with Jared and his girlfriend, and like I could picture that being a real conversation that they would be having.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, so yeah, once again, too much mental picturing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, but I appreciate all of the attention the tweet got. I just don't appreciate the fact that, much like the Aquaman scenario, it quickly reminds me how terrible people can be. Because it's a joke. And the joke there is that my wife, or whoever in this scenario I'm having sex with, let's say two girls, just for fun, let's say they would say these hurtful things back to me. And the point is that this statement of saying that I romanticized the Attitude Era, but the matches were garbage, women were treated horribly, and the storylines were repetitive, is meant to hurt me as well, Tim.
Right.
Right? It's meant to hurt me.
It's supposed to be a self-deprecating thing.
It's a self-deprecating thing because I am one who gleefully talks about the golden era of wrestling, that wonderful, amazing 5 years span of time from 1997 to 2002, when we got to see glorious things like men come out in blackface and women show their breasts on live TV during a program that's meant for children. These are the things that I consider to be the glory days of my hobby and the thing I love to watch. And I was using this personal attack as a chance to self-deprecate a little bit. And the amount of people that turned this thing into a debate, Tim, is staggering. It's amazing when you consider that
18 to 24-year-olds aren't even searching for breasts on Pornhub anymore.
That makes no sense to me. I want to know what they're searching for, because we've talked about this before on this snack podcast and turned it into a porn discussion. This stuff they're watching isn't right, Tim.
No.
I shouldn't have to go through 3 or 4 pages to find something that's not fucking incest porn. That's really weird.
Yeah, I can't get my head around that exactly. It's like everybody... Or like there's maybe a large number of people who just like grew up with hot stepsisters or something, or stepmoms.
Stepmoms? Yeah. It's absurd. Yeah. It's absurd. But you know what my favorite porn-related thing this week, while we're on the topic of porn, was a tweet that came out that showed a young lady at the side of her soldier boyfriend who was going off, presumably to boot camp or wherever he was going off. And then the very next tweet is her in one of those, you know, couch casting couch call kind of videos in the exact same outfit that she's wearing in the video. It's like she didn't even wait a day to go off and do some porn after this guy went off to war. It's a great tweet. Reminds me very quickly of...
Is that real news? Is that like a...
It's probably fake news.
I don't know. We should see if that's on Snopes.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure it's on Snopes. I'm sure it is. But I still like an explanation.
Somebody over at Snopes has to watch casting couch videos to validate them.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's a beautiful thought. That's a beautiful thought of the amount of bullshit someone at Snopes has to sit through to validate whether these things are true or not. That's pretty wonderful, though. Yeah. I may or may not have seen the video to validate that at least the video exists. So I don't know about the rest of it.
My hurt me tweet was about this podcast that I've been listening to this week called Bubble, which is like a sitcom, but it's like a sci-fi comedy scripted podcast from the Maximum Fun Network. Anyway, it's like, while being funny, it eviscerates like a lot of things about my lifestyle, like beards and being a beer snob and being having a movies podcast and also being like a hipster parent. Like that, like nothing is off limits on that show.
It sounds like it's direct attacks on you. All of that.
It is kind of, but then they fight monsters and it's pretty fun.
Oh
yeah.
Well, now you got me on board. Now you got me on board. I'm excited about that. You know what else I'm excited about? What's this week's snack.
Oh,
yeah. This week's snack. Because above all, we might talk about politics. We might talk about pornography. But above all, we're going to talk about snacks. That's what we do on Derek and Tim Eat Snacks. And this week's snack, to me, has been very intriguing because I've heard about it so much. I've had this snack brought up to me mostly by my foreign friends on Twitter. But whenever there's a discussion of candy of any kind, these get brought up. Not just in a discussion to its direct American cousin, which would be the Whopper in this case. But no. These are get brought up in candy bar discussions. These get brought up all the time. So I'm excited to try them, and I'm excited for our viewers to know that this week's snack is Maltesers.
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 I've made it known on this podcast that I'm a Whoppers guy, right?
Like, oh yeah.
I've talked about the joy of going on a road trip and getting the milk jug shaped thing of Whoppers that you can just chug in the backseat of a minivan.
Yeah, you just drink that shit down like it's chocolate milk, but it's really malt balls going down.
That's right.
It's fantastic. Now, I'm a little worried that these have been overhyped. Because they're made in Canada, and a lot of my Canadian friends, mostly my arch rival nemesis Josh, aka JG Cartman, he claims he's a viewer, but then he was like, "How can you be a viewer of a podcast? You guys have videos. I know you're not a fucking viewer, because if you were a viewer,
you would understand.
You would have understood that reference." But these are made in Canada, so I kind of trust them.
Where does it say made in Canada? Does it say that on there?
Mine have it on the side of the box. They say the date of best before, and then they say made in Canada.
But here's the real kicker about these Maltesers compared to Whoppers. Your ingredients on the Maltesers, and this goes back to, you know, my whole like real conspiracy theories. Like this is not some Alex Jones shit. The real shit is that chocolate needs to be made with cocoa butter.
Oh man, that's.
And our viewers know that if it doesn't have cocoa butter, it's fake chocolate.
It's Whoppers, fake shock. It's bullshit.
The ingredients in a Whopper is like, sugar, palm oil, or something like that. Mm. It's garbage ingredients. Mm-hmm. And these, sugar, skim milk, cocoa butter.
Oh my God, cocoa butter, Tim. That's real chocolate, my friend.
Yeah, that's real chocolate.
It's
but it
the
doesn't
real
even
stuff.
They don't even make a big deal about it, man. They just say chocolatey candies.
They're not patting themselves on the back about it. They're not like, "Ooh, look at us, real chocolate." That's how you know it's bullshit. That's like why everybody's so scared. That's why everybody's like, "What were you giving us before McDonald's?" When McDonald's is trying to make a big deal about fresh beef. It's like, well, what the fuck were you giving us before? Frozen beef, you guys. That's what they were giving you. I get it, but there's no reason to cause alarm. I just think that people in this country have been deprived of real chocolate. We also know Mondelez is trying to eradicate real chocolate. We've talked about that several times on this podcast.
Yeah, so
I'm excited to see this.
There are so many culprits in the fake chocolate game. I always like to point the finger at Nestle in America for having a lot of fake chocolate stuff. Mm-hmm. But Whoppers are made by Hershey's, and Hershey's, as we know, has really gone back and forth. Like, go back to our Take 5 episode. They were real chocolate, then they were fake chocolate, then they were real chocolate. It's weird, man.
Yeah. I don't trust
Whoppers,
any of it.
I never – Whoppers always, or for a very long time on their packaging, said the original malted milk balls. And it's like, who are you trying to convince here, Whoppers? Like, what is there another malted milk ball I should know about? And sure enough, here comes Maltesers from Britain.
Along came Maltesers.
Yeah.
Sitting there looking all handsome, nodding at you from across the room, Tim. Hey, what's up? Just showing you that there's a better life out there. You know, you're sitting there next to Whoppers, sloppy. He's got his fucking shirt untucked, wearing like this weird plaid shirt with his belly sticking out and like his jeans, just looking like a pile of monkey crap. You know, 10 pounds of monkey crap in a 5-pound bag sitting next to you. And there's Maltesers across the room, dressed to the nines, looking all slick, got himself a little like short beard. Just reminding you that there's other Whoppers and other malted candy balls out there in the world. Not really suggesting that you need to leave Whoppers, but just reminding you that there's other fish in the sea.
I was surprised that you could just walk into Circle K and get these things. Like I hadn't been paying attention to them because the packaging is very unassuming.
It's very unassuming. It's beautiful packaging, though. Did you get yourself a share size with one of the play packs by chance?
Yeah, I have number 5.
Oh, I got 4 of 6, so I'm excited about what that means, because there is a section to open, lift to eat and reseal, and then a section that says lift to play, Tim.
Wait, where's the lift to eat and reseal? What is...
It's on the side, but then on the corner over here, lift to play.
I was just looking at the front, lift to play.
Yeah.
Well, first I'm going to play this game and then maybe eat the snack. We'll see if...
Oh, shit. Mine's a basketball game, Tim. Mine is a basketball game. I got a basketball game to play.
This shit is... the Malteser Soccer Challenge.
Dope.
Here's the thing, man. It's like if we're eating these international snacks, like... I'm willing to admit that, like, Britain knows its shit way better than we do when it comes to what is chocolate.
Oh, God, yes. God, yes.
But I really do feel like soccer is a threat to American exceptionalism. I don't know how I feel about just playing soccer with a British snack over here.
Wow.
Like, do I have to call it football?
Well, I'm going to ball out of control like the USA team, and I'm going to put a hurting on the British team. I'm going to go up by 62 points.
Do I have to just, like rename my Maltesers as like Maltesers FC?
Yeah.
Because like, I don't know. I feel like shouldn't American soccer teams like be called like, Phoenix Rising ST, which would just stand for soccer team. Cause that's what we call it in America.
No.
Well, I disagree.
No. Let's eat some snacks.
All right.
I'm gonna score a 3-pointer before I try it.
I don't know if I can.
Shazam! When you stood at the door with your hand on the bottle, there was nothing to tell. There was no need to ask. There's an engine to pull when you push back the throttle and you pour the first drop into the glass. Well, there's a hole in the ground where you'll bury the hatchet. The hatred and pain when it withers and dies. The gossamer web, the tangled and twisted. The hard luck story and the Benny's lies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit, Tim. Dog, I'm gonna heat this whole damn box, dog.
Here's the crazy part. This is nothing like a Whoppers.
Uh-uh.
It's a completely different thing.
It's so much better.
It's vaguely similar in shape and texture, and it just ends there and goes to a completely different place.
It's like light and crispy on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn. That chocolate, though. That real chocolate?
Yeah.
That real chocolate's where it's at.
There's so much give. It just...
Yeah, it doesn't fight you.
It surprises me every time because I expect a certain hardness from a malted milk ball.
You want a fight, but it's not giving up a fight.
Like you don't bite a milk ball in half, or you don't bite a Whoppers in half so much as you kind of crack it in half.
It's Luke Skywalker in The Last Jedi just standing there begging for us to come at him.
Yeah.
It tastes like a hologram. It's there 1 minute, gone the next. Three servings per pack. Ha! One serving per pack in my mind.
They say this is a share size. This is what, 2.83 ounces of Malteser? That's no way. That's... Yeah, this is going to be over quick.
Yeah. It's going to be a shutout.
It's going to be a 0-0 tie.
Uh-huh. I can't get over how good the chocolate is on this.
And how much chocolate there is compared to...
Yeah. There's so much. Mm. Man. All my foreign friends were so right about this candy. I see what all the hype is about now. I wonder what else they're right about. Driving on the other side of the road and shit?
I don't know.
Poutine? Well, yeah, they're right about poutine, that's for sure.
Yeah, they're right about poutine. I think, yeah, poutine has been, like, fully litigated in the U.S. now. Like, every... I went to a brewery out here where, like, the whole menu was just poutine. And you could just customize your poutine with, like, random stuff. One of the options was boar bacon. You get, like, green chili and boar bacon poutine. That was, Yeah, that was good.
Where is this? Here in Arizona?
Here in Arizona, but way the heck out in the Southeast Valley.
Oh, I don't care. We're going.
It was a place. It's a place called Old Ellsworth Brewing Company. They had like a whole poutine section of the menu, the way a restaurant might have had like a pizza section of a menu or a burgers section.
You know what my favorite part about this snack is, Tim?
What's that?
Earlier we were talking about terrible things. Terrible things. Sandy Hook truthers. President of the United States getting brought down. Of course, fuck Nazis, right?
Yeah. Fuck Nazis.
But
also, like, the idea that people might not be interested in boobs anymore.
That's absurd.
I agree.
Fucking spoiled brats is what they are. Not interested in boobs anymore.
Yeah.
Get out of here. But all those problems, they've all just kind of melted away eating this candy. I'm not going to say like it alleviated those problems or made those problems better for our viewers. But for me, I'm in a good spot right now. These are like an emotional painkiller. And I'm ODing. You know what I mean? I'm ODing on happiness.
There's one thing about these, and it's funny that they call them Maltesers, because in a Whopper, the dominant flavor is malt, right?
Yeah.
And in these, like it's chocolate, like all the way down. You're just getting bombarded with chocolate. When you eat a Whopper, that fake chocolate gets out of the way because it can do very little heavy lifting to begin with. It's, you know, it's listless and weak, being made of palm oil. And it's you know, you get that malt flavor, which is what I really like about a Whopper.
This is teasing you with it.
Yeah, it's teasing me with that. Like I want to taste it, and it's in there, but it's ever so subtle because that malt just gives way, and like what you just get is a ball of chocolate.
See, now you say that, but I feel this is the correct chocolate to malt ball ratio. Again, Tim, you've been dating this schlub over here all this time. You didn't know how good the world was out there. You deserve a rich fella. It's a good looking. You deserve Maltesers, Tim.
But it's almost saying like you can't have it all. You know, the rich fella, you know, yeah, he's got everything you thought you ever wanted, but then like I don't know, that schlubby guy over there, maybe he was a little thicker where it counts or something. I don't know.
Mm.
I'm not making apologies for the Whopper. And
yeah, no, I see what you're saying, though. You're about girthiness, is what you're saying.
In some cases.
Sure. And Maltesers over here is just super long.
Yeah.
Not really hitting all the spots right. Stabbing you in the cervix kind of thing.
The chocolate cervix?
Eh.
This metaphor is, yeah.
It's gone off the rails a bit, but
it really has.
You get where I'm going.
We're just out of control tonight.
I know. You started us off in a really weird place, and I don't feel like we've recovered from it. I mean, we were talking, for Pete's sakes, Tim, we were talking about innocent things, and you took us to Sandy Hook Truthers. I mean, I don't know how to recover from that. I feel like this has been one long stumble ever since that point. I mean, I haven't fallen on my face yet. Neither have you.
No,
we're toddlers.
Yeah, we're still upright.
Downhill. Yeah,
we're on the Maltesers soccer pitch.
Right.
Kind of running around.
Yeah, like our parents are okay if we fall on our faces because it's on the grass, but still, we know at this point with the amount of steam we've picked up from tripping so hard early on. That there's a good chance this fall is going to be hard. We need to just get to it.
Yeah.
So with that,
tuck and roll at this point.
Yeah. With that, I'm ready to rate. Now.
All right. Let's. Oh, there are two left in the box. I thought it was empty, and there's two left.
Oh shit!
Hey,
my box is empty. I'm giving them extra points for this box being so fun. By the way.
Well, you got basketball. Basketball is just a better game to play with your snack.
It's dope. I mean, I have dropped a couple on the floor, but, you know, it's the price you pay to ball out.
Yeah. You're still going to eat them, right?
Of course I'm still going to eat them, Tim.
Yeah. All
right. I was chasing one down right now. So with my half a point addition, I'm giving Maltesers 8.5.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I'm right there with you once again, as always.
Copycat.
I'm giving them an 8. But I'm not penalizing them just for the soccer box. It's still it's weird to me because I feel like from now until the end of time, these Maltesers people who I haven't actually talked to, like I somehow did not enter into these Maltesers conversation and didn't know why you picked this snack. But there's going to always be this debate about, like, Maltesers, are they better than Whoppers? And it's shocking to me how completely different one malted milk ball could be from another.
You're right.
It's like if you think about, like, you ever eat an M&M and then go eat a Sixlet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, a Sixlet is kind of a sad M&M imposter.
Sure.
It's
like comparing like Reese's Pieces to a peanut butter M&M. You're like, no, they're not the same.
Yeah, they're not the same thing. There's things that are different. So I mean, I can't.
It's apples and oranges. It's apples and oranges. It's apples and oranges. It really is.
Like you try to compare like an Oreo and a Hydrox, or you know things that are just like structurally really are the same.
Can't do it. You just can't do it.
Well, I think maybe in the Oreo Hydrox case you can.
I don't know.
Or like, I mean, I don't know. Like you compare Taco Bell to Del Taco, probably. Although I have a theory that Del Taco is just for like people who really pride themselves on being contrarian.
Yes, they're fooling themselves. It's not as good as they think.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Taco Bell's all that great, but
you know why Del Taco's great? Because I can get French fries with my tacos. That's why Del Taco's great.
I don't know. Taco Bell added those like nacho fries, and it makes me mad.
Fucking good.
Are they good?
They're great. They're the Long John Silver fries is what they are.
No kidding.
Yes.
Hmm.
But they just call them cheese. They come with cheese, and they call them nacho fries.
Huh.
Whatever to make us fatter.
Yeah, but the whole thing about Taco Bell is I like not having to feel like I need to get fries, because like of course I want fries, which is why it's better for me, better for my personal health, if I go to a place where fries are just not an option.
You know where I went tonight? Red Robin.
Oh,
it couldn't be more different. It's a fries bonanza there. They bring you too many fries. They brought me two plates of fries at the same time. They were like, here, fatty, shove your face full of some fucking French fries. We know you want them. That's how aggressive they were about it. But you know what? See? They weren't wrong. I wanted those French fries, and I didn't mind at all they called me fatty. I was like, Robin, yes, give me them.
Red Robin is in another one of these, like apples to apples comparisons, where when I was in college, there was Red Robin, and there was this other burger place called Islands. And
yes.
And all my friends were like all about Red Robin, led by my friend Lewis, who's a Washingtonian, and of course like Red Robin is like the Washington burger place. And we've talked about Washingtonians before, so our viewers know how those people are. But Red Robin, like the big argument for Red Robin was like, hey, let's go to Red Robin and you can get unlimited fries. And at the time, Islands didn't even give you fries with your burger. You had to like order fries on the side, and they would just bring you out this massive basket of fries.
But you had to pay for it.
Extra. But usually like the student coupon books had like a little some kind of fry discount. I don't know what the deal was, but they would bring you like more fries than your table could eat, pretty much, with your order of fries. Whereas the Red Robin, you'd eat all your fries and then be like, hey, can I have some more fries? And bring you some more fries. You'd maybe want some more fries, but then you'd just be like, eh, whatever, we'll just get the check.
At this point, just bring me more fries.
Yeah, well, you've reached this point. Well, I mean, I don't know. Can you get enough fries before like your child forces you to leave the restaurant, where like you can't bear like your kid like laying down on the sticky booth anymore?
I made my kid bring her homework tonight, so
that's a good idea.
Yeah, if that tells you anything about how prepared I was
that's how you do it.
Yeah, make that long trip of eating all those fries. Enjoyed
also,
every minute of it.
I liked the seasoning on the fries at Islands. I'm not a fan of those big fat potato slab steak fries that they serve you at Red Robin. You almost need like a thick sauce, like a chipotle mayo, to get them down.
Tim,
I mean, they'll give you chipotle mayo. They'll do it. You just ask them and they'll make it for you.
Tim,
what?
You're taking us onto a whole other meal podcast. You know how you feel about that.
I feel worse about this than I do about the. I was about to say 9/11 truthers. Let's bring them in.
God, Tim, I will see you next week.
Son of a bitch. I'll see you next week.
Fuck Nazis and fucking Sandy Hook truthers. God damn it. And fuck all of those guys, truthers. Tim. Oh, stop bringing them up.